Everybody got $1 million? No one got it? Okay, y'all need $1 million. Okay.
Can we get one more song?
No.
All righty, that's good. $1 million. Let's look at your last session, Evangelism the Jesus Way. We're going to look at the example of Jesus using the law. We're talking about this method of using the law. We need to see how the Master is doing it, using the law. In Luke chapter 10, verse 25 through 29, listen to what he says. A certain lawyer stood up and tested him, saying, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And he said to him, "Well, what is written in the law?" Isn't that amazing? Did Jesus begin with grace? Not at all. Did he begin with any good news? Did he say, "Well, young lawyer, I've got great news for you that God has a wonderful plan for your life"? He didn't begin that way. He basically says, "What is written in the law? What is your reading of it?" And so he answered and said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." Or Jesus said, "You have answered rightly. Do this and you will live." But he, wanting to justify himself, said, "Who is my neighbor?" Now remember what we talked about in our last session. What was the law for? The law was for us that shows our guilt before God and that we cannot what? Justify ourselves, right? Before the law of God. But what did this lawyer want to do? And by the way, I perform funerals for lawyers. I bury them 30 feet deep because deep down they're really good. I have lawyers here. I'm sorry. Anyway, so the lawyer wanted to justify himself, right? So why did the lawyer want to justify himself? Do you know? Think with me. The law proves us what? Guilty. Now, guess what he wants to do? Because he just said this. "What shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And what did Jesus point him to? The law. Now he's trying, and faced with the law convicts, the law points us to where we don't measure up to the Lord's standards. Now he's got to do what? Justify himself. And so he says, "Who is my neighbor?" Now you know the rest of the story. The parable that Jesus told after that was what? The parable of the good Samaritan. The Jews despise Samaritans. They despise them. And so at the end of the story, Jesus says, "Now, who was the good neighbor?" And guess what he had to answer? "As the Samaritan." And he left his presence. So there's the deal. Jesus used the law to confront a person who was self-righteous. Remember what Ray Comfort was saying in our place. God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. Not all the time do you have to share the law with a person who is already humble. You lead them to grace. Right? But when someone is proud, for example, I did have a church lady that walked into my office at one time, a long, long time ago. Hang on. Thank you. Anyway, is my good side? No lettuce in my teeth? Okay, good. So I walked in my office one time. She was really upset with me because I was a music minister at that time. And I was leading the music and I wasn't doing it right, according to her. And she brought in the Unger's Bible Handbook. And the Unger's Bible Handbook had in the back of it how to do a worship service. I was in seminary, and so she was going to enlighten me of how to lead music and how to do things. Well, she went through all this stuff just railing against me, and finally the pastor who was in there stopped her and said, "Look, ma'am, I just need to ask you a question. You think you know the right way to do things and how to run this church. Why don't you run the church?" And she said, "Well, I'm not qualified." "You know, what makes you qualified to, you know, have Brother Andy sit under this kind of thing?" And she goes, "Well, he just needs some lessons in learning how to lead, you know, this, that, whatever." like this. And he says, ma'am, I just want to start with you. He said, have you ever sinned? That's where he started. He didn't say it was the law. He said, have you ever sinned? You know what she said? She said, I have never sinned. She said, the only sin that I could probably be accused of is pride. Now, I'm thinking about it. You think? So where do you think we should have started with her? I didn't know to use this method at that time, but had this happened to me later on, this has been the method. The proud needs to be pointed to the law so it exposes their sin and exposes how they measure up to God's standards. That's why it says God is opposed to the proud and gives grace to the humble. So this is exactly what this lawyer comes up and says. What did he do? Tested him. Didn't come up and inquire. He was testing him in his what? His arrogance. I'm a lawyer. I know the law. Oh, sir, what do I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus, boom, hit him with the law. Right? Or he was guilty before the law. So let's look at another technique then. When Jesus, we're going to get into this with you kind of interacting and doing this thing. Technique Jesus used. It says in John 4, 5, and 7. So he came to the city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat thus by the well. And it was about the sixth hour. A woman of Samaria came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, give me a drink. So, let me go write some more stuff. Hang on. So we know. What spiritual... what spiritual element did Jesus use at that time? What really spiritual piercing question did Jesus ask the woman at that moment? Nothing. So give me water. It's telling you a way to make sure that you have the opportunity to witness. The first one is this. Relate. Find something in common with the person that you're talking with. Find something to do. For example, we're in the library. Say we're in the public library, and you sense the Spirit of God wanting you to witness to someone that's in the library. What could you do at the library that they may be doing that you're doing? Reading. So what's a good question to ask the person that you come up to? What? You read a good book or what? What you reading? Oh, I've read that book, you know. That, if you have, don't lie to them, you know. So, I've read that book, yeah, loved it. Anyway, don't lie to them, but you said, yes, I've heard of Orcas, I've heard of that author, and that get engage them in conversation. This is what Jesus did. Could you give me a drink? Okay. Now, in the process of this, we're not recording the whole conversation. There's a possibility that there could have been more, but in verses 9 and 10, we all of a sudden we see something happening. It says, then the woman of Samaria said to him, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? Now, what did we just mention a while ago? Jews hated what? Samaritans. And yet, Jesus is talking to the Samaritan woman. For Jews have no dealing with Samaritans. Jesus said, if you knew the gift of God, and who says it to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. Okay? So what did Jesus just do? Fill in the blank with this word. You create a spiritual shift in the conversation. There are times when you're going to have to shift things to the spiritual. If you're witnessing to someone, you shift them by listening to what the person says. Do you know one of the ultimate forms of love is listening? Did you know that? There are all times when you have to, if you have to counsel someone, or that someone comes to you in your Sunday school class, or comes to you, calls you relative or whatever, they're trying to unload their heart. One of the most loving things you can do to them is listen. Instead of doing what we men do, We men play one-upmanship, don't we? Yeah, my boss was on a tirade. Now, instead of saying, really, tell me about it, you know what our men do? You ain't heard anything until I tell you what my boss did. You know what that is? One of them shit. Okay, you see what I'm saying? Well, yeah, I got one up. And then they go, no, I had a boss one time. Ugh. You know, and all of a sudden, it just keeps going. You know, the fish started here, and the fish started here, and then out there pretty soon, you know, got so big, couldn't get in the boat. You know, that kind of thing. So, but you have to listen. And as you start to listen to what they're saying, you can kind of shift it into something spiritual. For example, you can use something like, $1 million. Okay? Now, for example, you've got something and you can't figure out, okay, what's going on? I really want to witness this person and that kind of thing. Well, you know, it's like, hey, you ever get worried about money sometimes? You think, oh, well, who doesn't? Can't give you $1 million. You know? They see it, that's cute, you know, and they go, ah, that's cute. Yeah, but it really is. It really has a purpose to it. Can I share with something with you? I need to ask you $1 million question. Would you turn that over? And here's $1 million question. It says, will you go to heaven? You know, now you've got them thinking, really? You're asking me that? Yeah, I'm asking you that. Will you go to heaven? Ah, probably will. Well, look what it says. Here's a quick test. And notice what he says. You ever told a lie? Stole anything? Use God's name in vain? He's got the scriptures right here, and you're just going through this thing. You start going into the gospel. You know, as the law begins to prick the heart, and they become guilty before it, and they begin to say, I'd have to be guilty, you know, kind of thing. You can share the gospel with them. That's something that's just a little technique and a little tool for you to begin to make the shift to create. Look what Jesus did. Jesus says, okay, here's what's going to happen. If you knew who was speaking to you, you know, you would ask him and he would give you living water. Now, did that grab her interest? She's pouring out liquid water. And now all of a sudden she says living water, and it's coming from a Jew who supposedly hates her and doesn't talk with her, and all of a sudden this man's talking with her. He's created interest, has he not? Okay. Now, the fourth thing. The woman said to him, sir, give me this water that I may not thirst nor come here to draw. Now here it is. Look what Jesus says. Did Jesus say, well, ma'am, let me tell you the good news of the gospel at this point? Did he use that? Let me tell you how you can have your sins forgiven. This is what he said. Go call your husband and come here. What commandment was he using? Thou shalt not what? Commit adultery. You see, he comes in with the law again. But he kind of cloaks it, not saying, could you do something for me? Could you recite the Ten Commandments for me by memory? And once you get down to that one that says, thou shalt not commit adultery, would you stop there and would you go and get your husband? Did he say that? He wisely said, hey, won't you go call your husband? And what did she do? Here it is. I have no husband. And what did Jesus do? You have... well said, I have no husband, for you have had how many? Five husbands. And the one whom you now have is not your husband, in that you spoke truly. Now, in our video, which we'll see a little bit more tomorrow, you'll see this kind of thing play out as we play this during the Sunday school hour, as they ask people. They will say things like this. They will say, hey, can I ask you a couple of questions? You know, just to see, you said you were good. Can we test that? They will say yes. They said, you know, in the Bible, the 8th commandment says, thou shalt not lie. Have you told a lie? And they go, yeah. You know, they come up with all these excuses. And they go through them. And one of the things that Ray Comfort does, smiling at a guy, and he says, hey, you know, by your own admission, you just told me you were a liar, a thief, a blasphemer, and an adulterer. And we've only got to 4. There's 6 more. And the guy was like, yeah, I know. What happened? He started coming under conviction and guilt. Now, here's what Jesus did. He just basically said, by your own affirmation, you know, you've just admitted you're an adulterer. And that violates what? The Word of God. The commandment of God. And what does she say? in unbelief. She didn't go, well, everybody's doing it. What'd she say? I see you know me, basically. You look right through me. You see me for who I am. Okay? So what did he do about the law? Write down this word. Convict. Use the law and let the word of God have its conviction in the heart of the person. Okay? Then, verse 25. The woman said to him, I know the Messiah is coming, he's called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things. And Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he. There you go. In conversations of witnessing, following these four steps like Jesus did, you begin to relate, create, convict, and reveal the gospel. If you're using the law to share the gospel, it's always good to relationship, create a shift to the spiritual, use the law to convict, and then reveal the gospel. Use that to reveal the gospel. Why did we say that? Remember, we said that because oftentimes sinners don't know they've sinned. Oftentimes they don't think the sin that they're doing is sinful. They think it's okay. They don't think that they've violated the moral will of God because spiritual things are not spiritual unto them. They're very what? Natural. Can you say natural? You got to say it East Texas, okay? It's not natural. It's natural, okay? It's not natural. Okay, that's the way it is. And so you have to point those things out to them by using the law. Now, here is your assignment. This is kind of where you get to move around a little bit and kind of do this. You can choose a partner, or you can get into groups of three, maybe even get in groups of four. You're going to have to kind of move around and kind of do this, and you're going to get outside your comfort zone, okay? I know you've been very quiet and nice and reserved, so now you're going to have to get unreserved, and you're going to have to get into to the actor mode, okay? So here's what you're going to do. You're going to designate a person as the witness, and you're going to designate the other one as a potential convert. You are a potential convert. You are a pagan, a heathen, okay? That's what you are right now for the next 15, 20 minutes. That's what I want you to be. The assignment is the witness. You're pretending you're knowing the convert. You know these people. I want you to strike up a conversation and begin this four-step process if you are the witness. And do that and see how you can do. You've got to listen carefully to the convert, because whoever you are, potential converts in your group, whoever you are, I want you to play it up. Okay, I want you to play this up. Okay, I want you to come up with a story. You know, if the witness comes to you and says, "Hey, what are you doing?" You know, you can say, "Well, I'm filling out my lottery cards." You know, whatever it may be. You know, whatever like that, that kind of thing. And so, when the witness is basically starting to talk to you, you got to answer those questions. Kind of play along with them. Now, don't make it easy, you know. Don't like to, "Hey, have you ever heard spiritual things?" No. You want to hear about spiritual things? Yeah. Don't do that. Come on. You know, help us out here, you okay? And we're trying to get some practice. So, we're going to give you... You know, you can give them reasons why you may or may not believe in God, why you don't go to church, haven't thought about it, whatever. This is an opportunity for the witness to try to figure out, how do I create a shift to the spiritual? Okay? So that you can do that. Because in your everyday witnessing, you're going to have to learn to do that. How do I create this? How do I make this happen in that situation? So, you've just got a few minutes. So get in groups, you know, getting like that. If you have two or three witnesses, you know, and two or three converts in a group, that's good. Whatever. So grab a group, do that. And some more people stealing my money. Okay, come on. You like my wife spending my money.